Hey, if you do me a favor, take your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 9. And Sherry was asking me this morning, said, what week of Advent is this? Normally we would say this would be week 3 of Advent, because the first week of Advent normally is the last Sunday of November. So we celebrate, you know, hope, love, joy, peace in the Advent season. And so normally we'd say this would be the third week, but wherever we are in that process, we just we're going to dive in here in the book of Isaiah and talk about this morning. You know, I love the Christmas song, What Child Is This? And I think that's exactly kind of what's happening for Isaiah when he's talking about who this is. This is what we call a messianic prophecy. This is Isaiah's prophecy of the first advent, and there also are some implications of the second advent of Christ. This also included in that. There's coming a day. Amen. There's coming a day when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back from heaven with the Lord himself, and we're going to establish his kingdom, and to that kingdom and to that government there should be no end. Amen. And so messianic prophecy is this messianic prophecy. I thought I turned it on. I have it on, but unless this messianic prophecy, is it not working? I'll try to stand a little closer. How about that? Anyway, this messianic prophecy, again, is kind of twofold. One, about the advent of Christ, that first advent, and it has some implications of the second advent, or the second coming of Christ one day, when he's going to establish his kingdom upon this earth. And to that government, and from that throne, he will reign forevermore, and there'll be no end to that government. But we're going to deal with the passage today in Isaiah chapter number 9. So if you take your Bible and find that place, we're going to stand and read God's word together. Isaiah chapter number 9. Look at verse 2, and then we'll get to verse 6 and 7, and then kind of start from there, okay? It says, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. There's a comma there, and it says, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us more than we could ever imagine. Father, we ask that you speak to us today about your word today. Help us to understand what's happening here. Help us to understand what this Advent season means for us personally. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen to this. You know, I got a friend that's looking to be at a church, and sometimes I see things, and I forwarded him this. Listen to this posting from a church. I won't tell you the name of the church, but I will tell you where it's at. It's in Sarasota, Florida. And I was kind of tongue-in-cheek with him. I told him, I said, I found you a church to go to. I know that's kind of mean, but especially you understand that when I read this to you. Here's what they said. Said their pastor, they were looking for a lead pastor. Said, they will be open-minded and non-religious. That's the first line right out of the gate. At that point, I was intrigued. I would have read that if it was 100 pages. Amen? And said, they'll be open-minded and non-religious. They will have a solid grasp of the principles and values that Jesus taught. They will avoid bringing politics and activism to the platform. They will have excellent speaking skills. They will have the ability to complete a message in a timely fashion. And I know this sounds like this is made up, but it's not. This is for real. Because when I sent it to him, he said, is that for real? I said, it's absolutely for real. Or at least they're wasting their money posting it out there, whatever. It says they will have the ability to complete a message in a timely fashion and the ability to deliver it in the 30 minutes or less time allowance. Here's what, it gets even better than that. Suncoast, that happens to be the name of the church. I said I wouldn't tell you, but that happens to be the name of the church. Suncoast is in agreement with Rob Bell and John Shelby Spong. I don't know those men, and I probably won't buy any of their books or anything else. But it says, and other more liberal leaders. We are an all-inclusive community that welcomes and affirms all, regardless of history or sexual orientation or preference. This is the best part of their posting. It says, our goal as a community church is not to get people saved.
What? Wait, I'm reading that. I didn't make that up. Let me say it to you again. I'm reading it right off because I copied it and pasted it to my friend. I said, don't you want to go to this church and be their pastor?
It says, our goal, and I quote, this is their post. Our goal as a community church is not to get people saved, as they do not need saving. We believe in the transformative power of the love and grace that Jesus offers, but do not believe in traditional punitive models of hell requiring salvation. Our founding pastor is a theologian, and he has his PhD in messed up biblical theology. Amen? I made that up myself. He has his degree in some messed up biblical theology. Amen. Our goal as a community church is not to get people saved. I'm just not sure. I know there's not anybody I know on the planet that applies for that job. Sarasota, Florida. I mean, that's something else, isn't it? Isaiah said, people walked in darkness. Listen, our world is in darkness even today. Amen. Doom and gloom and despair and agony on me, the song says. But thanks be to God, they've seen a great light. Amen? I'll have to delete that now. I mean, I can't even have that on my phone. I just don't. What is it that you're a hope? What is it you're doing if you call yourself a church? What is that about? I'm telling you. Something else, isn't it? From Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah, you understand Isaiah speaking 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years. 700 years by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He's speaking about the first advent of who Jesus is and when he'd come and what he's going to be called. And do you realize that if you look in the Bible, you can find it like in Blue Letter Bible. That's a free something you can use. It's a great tool. Blue Letter Bible, you can find all kinds of stuff. You can look at trends and tendencies in the Bible and look at verses and phrases and how many times it's repeated and do all kinds of study and stuff there. Blue Letter Bible. It's a free, it's free to you. But in that, do you realize the Bible says that the Word of God records 256 different names that are given to Jesus? I said Wednesday night in the book of Ezekiel said 72 times that they would know that I'm the Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord God, G-O-D, all that capitalized. In the King James and other translations. And then he says, a lot of times he says, that the Lord has said, L-O-R-D. And it's that old covenant name, Yahweh, Jehovah God, in your King James Bible. So God has a name, amen? But 256 times in the Word of God, he has a name. And here Isaiah is talking about that 700 years before his birth. Micah 5 talks about where he'd be born, all those things. I love every bit of that. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks as we finish up the Advent season. How that Bethlehem, just a little precursor of that, Bethlehem is the house of bread. How that the bread of life would be born in the house of bread, laid in a feed trough, that whoever tastes of him would not ever hunger again. Amen? Yeah. The Mediterranean Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River that empties into the Dead Sea, and here's the Mediterranean, and here's the land. Bethlehem, the word Mediterranean means in the middle of the terrain. It means that on the very center stage of the world at that time, God brought his son into the world. at Bethlehem. And Micah 5 says that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Amen? So there's so many prophecies just concerning the birth of Jesus, not to mention everything else that he did. But from the close of the Old Testament, from the close of the book of Malachi, until Jesus speaks, until God speaks again, his inspired word, we call it that Maccabean period. We call it that, it's some people say five, some say four, but 400 plus years of silence. 400 plus years of silence. Now, I'm not saying to you or advocating in any way that God in his sovereignty abdicated the throne for 400 years, because God was still on the throne and God was still in control. Because if you just believe somehow or another that Cyrenius was governor at the time, that Joseph and Mary would have to go back to Bethlehem, then you just believe anything. All that's of God. Even though he wasn't speaking, the sovereign hand of God was still working. 400 years of silence. 400 plus years of silence. And then he bursts on the scene with the birth of his son in fulfillment of that messianic prophecy in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. And these men are going to see a great light. It's amazing what's happening in this passage. They shall see a great light. That phrase in verse number 2 of Isaiah 9, it speaks of relief in the midst of their despair and distress. And that's kind of what happens when you get the gospel of grace. Amen? People today walk in darkness. They need to see the gospel of grace and be delivered from the darkness. And that's only found in Jesus Christ. Dr. Rogers said that people want the joy of Christmas without having the Christ of Christmas. Amen? You can't have the joy of Christmas. Matter of fact, when Dr. Rogers said people, they just want the joy of Christmas without having the gospel, without having the Christ of Christmas, and he made this emphatic statement about what he just said. He said, it's impossible. You can't have the joy of Christmas without the Christ of Christmas. Amen. You can't. What you have is like a ritual gifts. You know, we give gifts because the greatest gift was given. Amen? We don't give gifts because of some tradition. We give gifts because the greatest gift was given. We adorn our house because it all speaks about who Jesus is, that flower and that crown. And Vicki asked me the other day, she said, hey, we're going to decorate in the sanctuary. Can you get that cross out? And I, Brother Joe, I'll be honest, I looked in that room where it was stored, y'all's room, and I went, oh my stars, it's in the back against the wall. So me and Vicky's mom, we started rolling stuff out. I hope I put it back to y'all's satisfaction. We pulled stuff out. Move. And I thought, if I can just get that cross, I'll just drag it out of here and somebody can help me bring it over to the sanctuary. Well, when I got a hold of it, I thought, well, obviously it's made out of cedar, so it's not very heavy. So I got it out of the room, and I got it outside in the gym, and I put it on my shoulder, because I'm a big, strong, burly guy, right? No, because it's not very heavy. And I brought that thing over here, and the whole time I thought about who Jesus is. He didn't bear the whole cross. He bore the cross section of the cross, but it was laid upon him. My sin, your sin, the sin of the world, all of the depravity and darkness and everything else. And Jesus endured the cross for us. But he was born first. Amen. The gospel of grace. When things are at its darkest, we as God's people have this, should have this attitude of whatever comes is okay. Amen? Whatever comes my way, you know, whatever that is, whatever, we should have that type of attitude that balances our troubles. You know, the scripture says that we're crushed, we're persecuted, all of those things, we're not forsaken, not destroyed, not cast down. Amen? So no matter what comes our way, because of our relationship and our connection with who Jesus is, Lord, we're more than conquerors. Amen? But people still walk in darkness that need to see a great light. And that's what Christmas is all about. We hold fast to the hope and the promise of God. The one who created. I love the thought that the very one that created both light and darkness, day and night, and established and commands its boundaries, says to us that He is our refuge. Amen? Wow. That's a powerful thought right there, that He would do all of that for you and I. Luke chapter 4 talks about how that He came and for the deliverance of the captives. I was one of those. The design of the gospel is to break the yoke of sin and Satan, to remove the burden of our guilt and corruption, that we would be liberated as children of God. Amen? That's the Christ of Christmas, and that's the necessity of the birth of who He is. That's why we celebrate Advent. Because without Him, that old song that we sing says we would be, amen, without Him, like a ship without a sail. Nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born." I want you to see the difference. The phrasing there is different. It says, "Child is born, son is given," but those are two different things. He's not repeating Himself. Those are two different things, two different thoughts all together. And so look with me when we think about where he says, "Unto us a child is born." It speaks of Christ, His humanity. His humanity. You think about some of the, I want you to think about again how that it's impossible to have the joy of Christmas without the Christ of Christmas, according to Dr. Rogers. But how that this Christ, He came, and how that the Bible says that He was that lamb that was prepared and slain from the very foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, God acted. Before He ever acted in creation, He acted in redemption. And Jesus came on the scene in Bethlehem. How that birth of our Savior, how the most amazing thing happened in the world that can never be done by anybody else. He came and was born of the Virgin Mary, but He was absolutely God. Amen? "For unto us a child is born." He's born into the world. The Word became flesh, the Scripture says, and dwelt among us in John chapter 1, verse 14, that God loved this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He was born to us. You see Him in His absolute humanity. He was so much God that He wasn't man at all, so much man that He wasn't God at all. And that's why we call Him the infinite God-man. He alone could do for us what no one else could do, because He alone was God in the flesh. And that's what Advent is about. That Jesus, at an appointed time, came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, and Isaiah prophesied of this some 700 years before His birth. And it came to pass. The people walked in darkness. They've seen a great light. He is the fulfillment of God's grace. Amen. I mean, you think about it now. Without Jesus, without Him coming, grace would have just been halfway. Maybe it was a thought with God, but without the completion of Christ coming, He is the fulfillment of God's grace. So when we celebrate Advent and Christmas, we celebrate the grace of God. Amen. I mean, I love everything about Christmas. I love the lights and the wreaths and all the trimmings and all the tree and all the stuff. Kelly and I finished putting our stuff up at our house yesterday. I said, I wasn't going to do that this year because my girls aren't home to see it. But we went ahead and decorated outside and did all that stuff and decorated everything. And I said, well, I guess it looks nice. I mean, then I get up at 1 something this morning, coughing my head off, and the lights are blinking. I'm like, oh, go outside and turn them off. I love all the decoration, all the trappings, all the trimmings of Christmas. But Christmas is about the grace of God. Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of the grace of God, the plan that God had to redeem you and I, the plan that God put in place before the world was, the plan to save us from our sin and ourselves. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's grace. So you see Him in His humanity. But you also see Him in His humiliation. His humiliation. That same, Isaiah goes on to say that he calls Him Mighty God. He says this same Mighty God that is God of all things, He humbled Himself to the point of the cross. And He endured the shame. And He did all of that, and He emptied Himself completely out to fill me and you and to exalt us. Christ in his humiliation. You think about that, how that we stand before God, as Spurgeon said, like we are Christ, because Christ stood before God like he was us. Did you hear that? You and I get to stand before God like we're Christ, because Christ stood before God like he was us. The fulfillment of God's grace and the humiliation that he endured. Wow. It says, unto us a son, a child is born, comma. Unto us a son is given. It's different phrasing, different meaning. You see, Christ born as a child, and it speaks of his humanity and his humiliation. But unto us a son is given. And he speaks of his deity. Amen. It speaks of who he is. He came into this world, yes, a babe, in the form of through the vehicle of that Virgin Mary's womb. But he came born of the Virgin Mary on that particular night in history. But he was God. Amen. He was all God, even though he became subject to the creature. The Creator was dependent upon the creature. Wow. You see his deity. I said, you know, that song, Mary, Did You Know? The most important phrase of that song to me is, when you kiss this little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Amen. I love that thought. It speaks of his deity. You know, I was thinking about that. Some people want to debate, you know, like, what's the greatest events in history? And I thought about some. Yesterday we celebrated December the 7th, 1941, correct? Pearl Harbor attack, the Japanese government, their fleet, surprise attack upon Pearl Harbor. I don't know if the man really said it, but in the movie it's a cool phrase when after the attack and all the destruction, and someone said, how did it go? And he said in his Japanese tongue, he said, I don't know. He said, what I think is we've woke a sleeping giant. I don't know if he said that, but that's exactly what they got. Amen? They woke a sleeping giant. So we celebrate that, those men and those women and those innocents of Pearl Harbor back from 1941, December the 7th, yesterday. And someone says, well, that's a great event in history. It's tragic, but it's a great event in history. Someone said that July the 20th in 1969 was a great event. The lunar landing, when we landed men upon the moon. And some people say, well, it's all just a hoax. It's all just a hoax. We really didn't do that. It was all this television and Hollywood and all that stuff. And all of that was so that the Soviet Union would spend all their money and bankrupt their country trying to get men to the moon and win the race. And I say to you, I believe men walked on the moon. Amen? Amen. July the 20th, 1969. Great event in our nation's history. My daughter, when she came home from Germany, brought us a gift, and it's one of the, I guess it's a beer stein. It's on our shelf, okay? We didn't put anything in it or anything like that. But it's beautiful to look at. But on top of it, there's a rock. And I thought, well, that's weird looking. That rock is just like glued to the top of that stein. And when you start looking at it and investigating it, it's a numbered piece of rock, and it's from the wall that came down. 1989, when a president of ours said to Gorbachev, tear down that wall. We know it took a couple of years to get it down. About 91, it was the complete destruction of that great event in our in the world's history. Amen. When the wall came tumbling down, and the end of that old communist regime. Another sad day in our nation's history, though, was September the 11th, 2001, when four surprise attacks by a terrorist group flew planes into the World Trade Center, two different planes. One was headed to, of course, attack the Pentagon, and ultimately the one that went down to Pennsylvania, they say, was headed to the White House. Four surprise attacks by a terrorist organization. It was a sad day. We lost many people on our own soil that day because of the terrorists that attacked, and we'll never forget. Amen. One of the events that shapes our world today. But I want to say to you, I say without doubt, the greatest event the world's ever known is the birth of our Savior. Amen? Some people want to debate. They say, well, the resurrection is so important. I say, you can't have the resurrection if Jesus didn't come. They say, well, it's got to be the crucifixion. It's got to be when Jesus went to the cross and died a horrible death in our place. And I say, yes, that's an important event in our history, but he couldn't die if he never came. Amen? On goes the list. Well, the miracles. The feeding of the 5,000. All the things that make up the great events. But I say this to you again. Couldn't happen if Jesus never came. He came and he endured the cross, despised the shame. As God. So much God that he wasn't man at all. So much man that he wasn't God at all. If the birth of a son is the fulfillment of God's grace, then the giving of a son, it's the fulfillment of God's glory. Amen. When God himself left the adoration of heaven for the abhorration of earth. Amen. When God himself left the very throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and came and was spit upon and mocked at every turn. You can't have any of those things if Jesus didn't come. And so I think, without doubt, the greatest event that the world has ever been privileged to witness is the birth of our Lord. Shepherd men in the fields by night. Speaks about all volumes about who he came to first. Amen? Oh, my stars. And we'll talk about that in a week or so. But I want you to look with me as we dig in for just a second. I'm not going to be much longer because I know time's getting away. But he says, and I'll finish up tonight if we have to. But he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. There's coming a day when all this hogwash that we have today is world leaders, all that's ending. Jesus is coming back and he's going to take his place on that throne. And for his kingdom and his government, there shall be never no more end. Amen. Isaiah said 700 years before the birth of our Lord. And then he starts into those names. And he says, it speaks of his uniqueness. Isaiah gives us that pre-Advent Christ several different names. And he says he'll be called Wonderful. And the word wonderful in the Hebrew means supernatural. Or it means the very revelation of God, his hope that is personified. His name shall be called Wonderful. Unique. Uncommon. Like no one else. Wow, think about that. That's who our Savior is, and that's what he came to do. And then it says he'd be called Counselor. To be counselor, someone has to be able to give advice and instruction and give, amen? Is that not right? I mean, if someone's a counselor, you're listening to their advice. You're listening to their instruction. You're listening to their direction. Jesus said that he's coming to this world. Or Isaiah said that when he comes, he'll be called Counselor, giving us direction and advice and leadership in our life. This uncommon, this unique Christ speaks of his uniqueness. Wonderful. How amazing it is that there came to this world hope through the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. He's Counselor. When you think of the word again, counselor, again, it appears that someone that's given that direction and given that advice and helping you and I, and someone that's listening to us to help meet the needs of others. He was a man that's been through every experience just like you and I that we've ever faced or ever will, yet without sin. Amen? That's why he alone is the one that gives us the best advice. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in every way was tempted, just like you and I, yet without sin. Unique. He's Counselor. He's superior at that. Then he says, Mighty God. I love the phrase there, Mighty God. He's mighty in his essence. John Gill, the great Puritan theologian, said, omnipotence is essential to God. It is his nature, not some power derived from some other source. He is all power. Amen.
from our son according to the comics and the movies. When Jesus came, he was born of the Virgin Mary, and as that little infant child wrapped in that swaddling clothes and laid in that feed trough, he was the ultimate power the world has ever known. Mighty God. You think, wow, that's so cool. So cool. Not derived from any other source. He is mighty in himself. Wow. Mighty God. Powerful, powerful statement. Mighty in his experience. All of those things. And then it says that he's called Everlasting Father. A man named James Garrett Gray said, he reminds us, he said, it's common in the East to describe any quality of a person by calling him the father of that quality. In other words, when Jesus called Satan the father of lies, he said that Satan's a liar. Amen? And he's the father of all lies. He said, so it's common that we give the father of that quality, we call him that. So when we talk about Jesus being the everlasting father, he goes on to say that we call him the father of mercies. We call him the father of glory. We call him the father of lights. That Jesus is the everlasting father. H.A. Ironside said this. He said, he is the one in whom all the ages meet. Therefore, he is rightfully designed and designated the father of the ages, the father of eternity. When Jesus came, he wasn't some helpless babe born to some poor peasant Jewish girl. But he was Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's why we celebrate the Advent. Amen? That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's clear that the excellence of Christ possesses the capacity as both Son and Father. Unto us a Son is given, and he shall be called Everlasting Father. Nobody else can do that but God. Amen? Nobody else can do that but God. And then lastly, or next to last, he calls him the Prince of Peace. He says, each of those five names recorded for us in that text in Isaiah, they speak of the how that they supernaturally blend together to represent who God is. Isn't that cool that you think about, it's not one at a time, but it's one all at the same time. Amen? I mean, it's not, he's not just wonderful today and tomorrow he's got to be counseled. He's not just counselor next week and then at some point he'll display his might as mighty God. No, he's Almighty God. He's Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Counselor, all at the same time because he can. Amen. You and I are limited to our roles and where we can be and what we can accomplish. But he has no limit to that. He is Prince of Peace. He is that Peace Master. The word prince in the Old Testament, it's the usage, it means primarily the how that it's designated or donates designates or donates a leader or a commander or a ruler. I said, Sunday night, this old song years ago, and I'm going to try. It says, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? You know that song? I want to introduce to you in this corner of the good and the right stands the champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heavens. His weight outweighs the world. His reach reaches everywhere. His age is evermore. He is higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his name away. Amen. That old song is called The Champion of Love. Jesus came in this world not as some victim to man's plight, but he came into this world in the form of a babe as conquering champion. Amen. Wow. I hope Christmas means much to me. I hope it means more to you when we think about who he is and what he did. And he's that peace master. If you're looking for some peace, Jesus said, I can give peace where
there is despair. If you're looking for some hope, I can give hope where there's hopelessness. He's not only the peace master. I love the idea where it says he's the peacemaker. In the Hebrew, the word peace means shalom, and it's a word of greeting and farewell. Jesus appears. You think that word appears over 250 times in the Old Testament. A condition of freedom from the disturbance, whether outward or inward, as a nation from war or enemies or within the soul. Jesus said, I don't care what the turmoil is in your life. I can speak to you, shalom, peace. Amen. Isn't that amazing? He did all that so that you and I could have peace and hope. Wow. Isaiah said, how many years? 700 years before the birth of our Savior. He said, unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there'll be no end to his reign. He'll take his rightful place on David's throne. And that's why we celebrate the Advent season. Amen. Christmas is more than we make it out. We've done such a poor job in our world today, North America. You're looking for some peace at this season? You find it only in Jesus. You're looking for some hope? You find it only in Jesus. You're looking for a hero? You find it in Jesus. You're looking for salvation? Remember the church that said, we're not here to save anybody. Remind me, I'll delete that when this is over. Because we are here to see people get saved. Amen. And if you walk in the darkness and despair, I heard T.D. Jakes say the other day, I'm not a big Jakes fan because all that name it, claim it, wealth, health junk they preach. But Jakes said the other day, and it's good, it's worth repeating because it's not about his wealth, health, and name it, claim it stuff. He said, listen, if Paul saw a great light in the middle of the day, that's a great light. Amen? That's interesting. Middle of the day, blinded, not by the light of the sun. What is it? Who knows that? Who knows that stuff? 196 million miles or 196,000 miles or something like that? I don't know. You go outside and you feel the warmth of the sun on our face and can't look at it for its brightness, but the brightness of who Jesus is outshines it all. Amen? And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to open your word and study for a few minutes. Lord, this time... doesn't give justice to what you're saying there in its entirety. But Father, we're tasked with this time, and we want to be found faithful to that. Speak to our hearts this morning. Father, if there's just one today that would say, I've just kind of got Christmas out of whack. It's not that I'm lost, but I've just kind of got trapped in the commercialization of Christmas, and I want to get back to celebrating what it's all about. And You, Lord, have spoken to my heart today about what Christmas and the Advent season is all about. Lord, I do pray for that one that's looking for some hope and looking for some peace and looking for some answers and looking for a hero. They can find that in all in the person of Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born. Speaks of his humanity. Just like us, yet he was God. A son is given, a gift has been given that this world could have an opportunity to be saved. Speak to those that are not saved today, Father. Draw them by your Spirit. Father, for those that just need to pray, Lord, whatever your will is, for those that need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, unite with this church, however you guide them, we want your will to be accomplished in this place today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
And amen. Stand and sing with us this morning.